The following broadcast is produced by Crystal Key Ministries. To obtain the full broadcast of this entire message, please contact us via email at ordering@crystalkeyministries.com or by calling 914-297-8501. Please remember to support this ministry with your generous donation of at least $10 to obtain the full message on compact disc. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you and glorify your name this day. The day we call Palm Sunday, that your name be glorified as of another memorial, Lord Jesus, and a chance to glorify and to worship and adore your precious holy name, that your name be made manifest and glorified this day of forevermore. Remember those in the sound of the voice, remember those who couldn't be here, remember those that are listening online, that your name be made manifest, that your word go forth first and foremost, that your name and your name alone will get the preeminence, Lord, and then your name will glorify in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know a lot of us, we come out because it's Palm Sunday. It's just another Sunday, and so forth and so on. Does Sunday have any particular significance among the people of God and different religions all across the world? And you have to wonder, not only about Palm Sunday, but why do we have events? Why do we memorialize things? Things were done, so I say history, thanks to Blackwood. History is correct, but God wants us to remember times. He wants us to memorialize things. He wants us to observe things, not just take time for granted. Because, and we've heard it, those of us have been around just a little while, that time is winding up. How many people believe that? Time is winding up. This is not just another Palm Sunday. This might be the last Palm Sunday. We don't know. We don't know. We should never take time for granted. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit. It's going to be in line with the scripture on this morning. About people who take things for granted. And they'll do anything to preserve the status quo.
Yeah.
And today we'll be talking about the status quo. And in your Bibles, you're going to turn to what's typically a Palm Sunday scripture, John chapter 12, Gospel according to St. John chapter 12. And we'll be starting at verse 9. Because sometimes you got to paint the picture of the event itself. We talk about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt and a donkey. But what was the scene like prior to him? What led up to that? That puts everything in context. Because not just the Son of Man coming into a donkey on a colt in Jerusalem with palms spread in front of him. And the meaning of the palms was carried on for a very long time among Jerusalem and Jewish people. The palms were a sign of celebration.
Yeah.
It was a time of joy. It was a chime of exuberance.
All
right. Moving up to today's time, it was time to party. It was time to, as some of you young people say, and now I can tell them my age, time to get it on. Time to celebrate. And we do that because we don't like celebrating bad things. We just don't. That's not what we're made to do. But when you're going to remember something, it's generally a joyous occasion. We have things that we turn sadness into joy. But the thing is, nobody likes going to a sad event. Nobody's going to an event that's going to make them feel sorrowful, make them feel worse. than when they walked in. So we're here to celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. In John chapter 12, starting at verse 9, reading from the New King James Version, talks about, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he being the person of Christ Jesus, that he was there. And they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." Now this sets the context of what was going on prior. They knew Jesus was in town. They knew that Jesus had a following. All
right.
Jesus was taken away from their position, from their power base, from their command and control over men at the time. They had established religion as a means of controlling the population, influencing the population, so forth and so on. Chief priests, as you know, they were also in league with the Romans who were occupying the city at the time. They were paying taxes to Rome and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but how many of you like to pay? How many of us like to pay taxes? Raise your hand.
Nobody.
But they tolerated it because you had an occupying force. You had the Romans in town. You had the chief priests who were in collusion with Roman authorities.
Yes, they were.
Romans were controlling the chief priests. The chief priests were being controlled by controlling the people. And everything seemed okay. Until one day, this man comes to town. Dressed in probably everyday clothing. And everybody making a fuss. And I can just imagine the scene the day before. Say, we got to get some palms because our man is coming to town. Jesus Christ. Imagine the Pharisees probably saying, what's all this fuss about? Haven't you heard? Jesus is coming to town. And the Pharisees said, oh no, not him again. Say, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to put an end to this? We're tired of hearing that man's name. We're tired of hearing about Jesus. He makes all these boastful claims, goes around, who do he think he is? Healing the blind, making the blind see, raising the dead. We can't do that. How dare he do that? Something wrong here. People actually following this. They probably did all they can to try to discredit Jesus, to sully his name, to make him look bad. They tried, but they weren't successful. Now, how many of you in the workplace or going about your daily tasks or somebody trying to make you look bad? Somebody talked about you behind your back. We don't know. Somebody might have once said, I wish that person would just die. Don't know. But you know what? We're in a unique position to affect the world. Because Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. He came to upset the status quo. And starting in verse 12, reading on. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this people reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And we'll stop right there. Pharisees, they were intensely jealous. Jesus proclaimed himself to be a king. The Romans probably said, "Oh, we've seen this guy before. Another crackpot. Another crazy person. Another lunatic." How many of us go outside and see all kinds of people walking on the street and say, "You know, there's something, you know, that we wish that they would do something about the mental health crisis." All kinds of people humbling to themselves, coming up to you and talking all kinds of nonsense. So the Romans probably said, "You know, Jesus ain't no threat." Because if he was a threat to the Romans, if they perceived Jesus to be a threat, they would have done something about it a long time ago, as opposed to letting him continue wandering the countryside. Say, "He's no threat to us." I mean, okay, he's one of theirs. Let them take care of it. So the Romans allowed it, as long as he wasn't a threat to their authority. Now, Jesus did talk about it. He did talk about it directly to the Romans. But they didn't feel no threat. But Jesus says, "I was here to redeem my people." He says, "I've come in the name of the king." And they said, "How dare you put yourself on equal with God?" Because they didn't believe who Jesus was. They didn't believe in his personage. They didn't believe in the manifestation of God here on earth. They didn't believe in that. They believed in their own might, their own power. But the people that were affected, they couldn't control the people. So that's why they were upset, because Jesus rode in this triumphal entry, but they were celebrating his arrival. And of course, the Pharisees all decked out in their finest robes. And they probably had, you know, their pinky rings and their gold chains. I don't know, I'm just talking. Just trying to bring it up a little up to date, but you can visualize it. Probably had on their pinky rings, the gold chain. Probably had their pocket watch hanging down, you know, looking real good, looking real spiffy. Positioning themselves above the people. But Jesus didn't do that. He went in the midst of the people. He went and socialized with people that the Pharisees says, "Oh, that person's unclean. Let them wash first and go undergo the purification rituals before we'll even admit them to the temple." Is it any wonder why Jesus told them that in these 3 days that the temple will be torn down and they'll be raised up again? And they thought it was the temple, the building. And they didn't know they were talking about the temple of his body. They didn't know about that. So they were intent on the status quo being maintained. Romans probably couldn't care less. The Pharisees were threatened. The people were rejoicing. I'm sure it looked like, I don't know, I've never been there, but I'm sure it looked like Mardi Gras or some parade, some celebration where people, wow, dancing in the streets. saying the Lord has come. Victory is here. And in some versions it says that they said victory. And the Pharisees and the Romans already looked at each other and said, victory what? What? What's going on here? Victory? What are you talking about? Victory? Really? But the thing is that the Pharisees weren't swayed by the pomp and the circumstance. They weren't swayed by the palms. They weren't swayed by the crowds because they were so intent on keeping things the way they are. And moving on to today, we know that there's plenty of people out there who are intent on keeping things the way they are. We got people in high places. They're fighting the current system as it is. They feel the rules don't apply to them. Do as I say, but not as I do. They're begging, they're pleading. They act like they're the ones that are wounded, when they're the ones who are going around. As Satan once said, as they say about Satan, he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So people put themselves up on a pedestal just so that they can stay up there. Some people will do anything to stay in power. We live in a world where, at some point, the world where the church is a threat to the establishment. They close churches where you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because it causes people to think differently. Those of you who know about history, they were always revising books just so they can remove any kind of things that will cause the people to think differently. I learned something about what we call the King James Version. And if you study your history, you'll know that there were certain things. There was a wider Bible that was in use. I'm not going to go into details. But prior to the King James Version, they took a lot of verses out because they felt it was a threat to the king. A lot of people don't know that. But it's documented. It's historical. So you're going to talk to me later about that. But the thing about it, man is always trying to interfere with God's plan. He's trying to keep you under subjection. They don't want you to question authority. But what they don't know, what the authorities don't know, is that even though we may be subject to authority here, because the word commands us to obey those that have rule over you. So we are to obey. But we have a higher authority. We have a higher authority. We're celebrating the thing that maybe is of no threat to you because you can't see it. You don't see the fulfillment of it. And you feel all nervous and threatened, Mr. Authority Figure, because it makes you uncomfortable. It exposes all your lies. Exposes your deceit, your treachery. Exposes all those things that keep you in power. What did Jesus call the Pharisees? Den of vipers? Snakes. The Bible's probably putting it nicely. Some people might say he might have cussed them out. I don't know. He wouldn't have cussed them, per se, as we call cussing. But he called them out of their name. I said plenty of times that liars never want to be called liars. Racists never want to be called racists. People who are less than, they make themselves to be more than. Because they're busy building themselves up. I've often made observations, and some others have made observations too, is that why is it that people, the higher up that people go, the less common sense they have? Why are they making this decision when all these things are happening down here, but they're doing something else up there? Why is that? It's because the people down here at the bottom, number one, we're not a threat to their power. Well, only God is a threat to their power and authority. Because when he comes back, he's going to crack the sky and he's going to expose all those things. He's going to take his people up in the rapture, what we call the rapture. And those that are left will be standing to wonder. They're going to be quick to reestablish the status quo, I'm sure. Somebody's going to say, see, I told you about there were space aliens. They're going to blame it on something. They're going to blame it on everything except Scripture. They're going to blame it on everything except God coming back for his people. They're going to blame it on everything except the fulfillment of prophecy. Just so they can stay in control. Got to go all the way back to the Old Testament where God said, Israel said, we want a king. And God said, it's not my desire to appoint a king over you. It was never his desire. But since God allowed it, and you've had kings, we've had presidents, we've had governors, we've had rulers, potentates, whatever you want to call them. Some good, some bad. But it's all a part of the plan of God. Because if they change the laws tomorrow, we'll probably have to obey them as best we can. But the one thing they will not allow us to do, the one thing they will not have us do, we're going to be like Daniel. That if we pass a law, if they pass a law that says you cannot pray, if they pass a law that says you cannot praise God in public, and if we hear about it in private, we're going to come and question you and say, what's all this noise about? Yeah. Daniel wasn't afraid.
That's right.
King passed an edict. All those that bowed down at the sound of the psaltery and the harp that you would bow down, turn to the east and worship this gold, an image that I have set up of myself, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar. Status quo says everybody wants to do that, but Daniel was concerned about those status quo. He knew that God could deliver him even from the king. And you have to ask yourself, why was a big man like King Nebuchadnezzar afraid of Daniel? There's only one man, the king commanded the army. The king could have had Daniel put to death at any particular moment, but Daniel also had the favor of the people. Kings aren't crazy either.
That's right.
They're not crazy.
No.
When they know that there's a crowd following, they stand back.
Because
they do not want the crowd to revolt. Because they want to preserve the status quo. But because Nebuchadnezzar was getting incensed about this one man who refused to bend. Just like the Pharisees were getting incensed about this one man who continued to do things that were contrary to what they believed. This one man that was drawing crowds. This one man that was performing miracles, things that they could not comprehend, that they could not explain. This one man who they came into town and cut down palms from the tree. Says, why are they cutting down palms for? I said, haven't you heard? Jesus is coming to him. Jesus, oh, him again? Really? Why y'all cutting the palms down for? Leave them palms alone. No, we're not going to do that. Because there's more of us than there are of you, the people talking. Probably to the Pharisees. I'm assuming that's where the conversation took place. That's why they did that. They weren't worried about the Pharisees. See, this is something we do. We're celebrating. But the Pharisee says, you know what, we got to do something about this. There's always that small group of people hidden in the dark secret chambers. Some people call them star chambers, or whatever you want to call them. They're plotting the destruction of the church. They're plotting the destruction of the free world. The economy as we know it. It's not just hearsay. Had a conversation with our dear Elder Randolph here, he don't mind me telling this. We talked about this comet. This eclipse that's coming in April. And people going, eclipse. And you know what? I was sort of kind of in the corner of the eclipse. Because eclipses happen all the time. But the thing about it is that there was a video that I happened to watch. Yes, I watch videos. And it was a Christian, and it made reference to the book of Genesis, where the purpose of the things that we see in the sky is to set the times and the dates and the seasons. That's why God put the stars, the planets, the orbit of the rotation of the moon was so precise that you set your clocks and days and he says the seasons by them. The good book of Genesis, first chapter, it talks about that. So we better pay attention to what's up there. We better pay attention to it. Don't ignore it.
That's right.
But man has mysticized it, made it astrological signs and wonders and things like that. Man can't control it, but different civilizations throughout history have learned to predict it. Going all the way back to the Mayans, the Incans, ancient civilizations, they knew about it. Things they can't explain today. The Egyptians, they know about it. Because even the ones that put together those systems of status quo, they want to know what time it is too. Think about when Jesus was being born. King Herod, what did he do? He saw this star in the east. He saw that star up there. He said, wait, hold on, check it out. That star up there? Oh, that one's different. So that means something. It's something in our DNA that God has put into us that we need to be aware of the seasons, times, dates. And that's why we have memorials for things like Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, what we call Christmas, New Year's, different holidays and so forth. It's just mark the passage of time. But the time is getting closer. There are some calendars out there that predict, based on astrological phenomena, the stars in the heavens. Some of them predict the end of the world. Some of them predict the next ice age. I'm not here to be a prophet of doom. That's not what this is about. But it's to make you more aware that when we celebrate things, know the reason behind it. It's more than just a celebration. It's an acknowledgement that we're giving God the praise while we're still here on this earth. Because things are going to change. We already know that because of COVID, things changed. Certain things will never go back to the way they were because of that. Some people say that was just a test. That there's other things out there that are being brewed up right now. I have no proof on any of that. It's just talk. But the thing about it, God's going to have the final say so. Because you read the book of Revelation. You start it in Genesis. It talks about the stars set in place and so forth. In Revelation, when it talks about the great fiery mountain cast into the sea, and the sea turns to blood. What does that sound like? That sounds suspiciously like an asteroid strike. They didn't know what they were looking like back then, but they've already done tests in laboratories, and they said depending on the concentration of the asteroid, it could turn into water red because there will be the algae bloom, and everything dies. Algae blooms are real. Look it up. They happen right around here. The fish die because the oxygen gets taken out of the water. A meteorite striking 1,000 miles away can cause something right on the shores. Cause algae bloom. Let's not talk about tsunamis. Where we live in New York, where they talk about if a tsunami were to hit the United States or hit New York, the wave would more likely be taller than the World Trade Center, the Empire State Building, and moving at 600 miles an hour, by the way. By the time you hear about it, there'd be no escape. But you know, the status quo would say, you know what, that's something that That's science fiction. You don't have to worry about that. As long as you keep paying your bills, as long as you keep paying your taxes, as long as you keep within the rules and the bounds of what we consider society. But God's going to have the last say. Today is Palm Sunday. Next week, should God allow it, we will be here assembled on Resurrection Sunday, commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But today we're celebrating his triumphal entry because it's just marking the passage of time throughout history. Because it's important for us to understand why we do these things. Yes, celebrate. Whether it's Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, your birthday, your wedding anniversary, celebrate. Because that's what we do. We need a reason to celebrate. If you didn't have a reason to celebrate anything, if you didn't have a reason to celebrate your salvation, if you didn't have a reason for coming out to service, even on today, then you wouldn't be here. It's kind of quiet in here. But just to sum things up, it's something, after everything is said and done, it's something to look forward to. Because as you see prophecy unfolding in front of your eyes, okay, people may be fearful of a solar eclipse. I say, you know what? Lord, just the fulfillment of your prophecy.
Yes.
That's all it is. We know that the sun, the stars, the moons, and the heavens were created by God. We know that. Yes, I like looking on a starry night and seeing the meteor showers. It's beautiful. If you ever see them, if you get up, you can't see them in the city because it's too bright. But if you go up to, like, say, Ararat, and there happens to be a meteor shower up there, you haven't seen anything until you see meteor showers. They're beautiful. All these things that God set in motion for us to enjoy. But at some point in time, just like Noah's flood, God's going to say, enough is enough. He's going to have a remnant that he's going to snatch out from the jaws of what man has planned. I was watching a movie called Noah last night, and it took a little bit of free license with scripture, essentially sticking according to traditional, what we believe to be tradition. They threw some extra stuff in there. I'm not going to go into any details on the plot. But the thing about it is that God is going to move regardless of what man tries to do. Man always tries to insert himself in the place of God. He wants to step alongside God. He wants to be with God. Satan was one to elevate himself to be as God. And Satan just wants you to say, you know what, you don't have to worry about all that. It's not that we're worried, because we are not going to be fearful of anything. Because it's a God that we serve that says, we're not worried about the eclipse. We acknowledge it. We acknowledge that man wants to control the situation. Man wants to control the narrative through all the what we call the media, the social networks, the news, papers, television. A lot of things is going to be dangled in front of our eyes because man, and full of Satan, he's an expert on tickling these five senses. We have this itching ears. We get tired of hearing the same old thing. Time and time again, itching ears. I want to hear something new. I want to look at some alternative textbooks. I want to find some hidden knowledge that's kept from the masses. The status quo is designed
to keep you in check. Make no mistake about it. But Jesus said, you know what, Father, enough is enough. The status quo has got to go. I got to go down there. I got to redeem man. I got to shake things up a little bit. Yes, I know I have a fulfilled prophecy. Yes, I know that they're going to kill me. Yes, I know that I have to suffer things and go down as a man. Yes, I know it'll probably be bad. I'll be feeling all these things. But he did all these things because he loved us so.
Yeah.
He walked this earth because he wanted to show mankind that there is a better way.
Amen.
To show society that, you know what? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It says, no man comes unto the Father unless he comes by him.
Thank God.
That all by itself is a threat to the status quo. That one scripture alone, because it says, wait, you're not going to come through me? You don't need me for something? You don't need me to do all this? Say, I don't see Jesus. I don't see a God. I see four walls. I see a ceiling. I see a floor.
That's right.
I don't see God. I see you.
Right.
You see me. I'm the one that has the systems. I'm the one that has the money. I'm the one who's got the power and the control. So therefore, you have to acknowledge who I am. So I can keep things, because I want to do what's good for you. What's good for you. Quote, unquote. When they say something's good for you, you better take a little bit of heat. Your antennas should go up a little bit. Just a little bit. Because everything is about control. But never mind man's control. I'm more worried about the one who controls my fate, my future. I'm more worried about the one who controls the fate of the universe. I'm the one who we're more worried about the one who controls the orbit of the planets. The asteroids that whiz by the Earth that they never tell you about. So all that one's not going to hit. No need to alarm the masses. We don't want a massive stampede of people. We don't want people going crazy. We don't want people saying that if they knew the Earth was going to end, and I'm going to finish with this. Talking about the things in the skies and the heavens. With our modern technology, these telescopes and all these things that we have, if they had proof that there was an asteroid heading towards Earth that was on a direct collision course, so now you have those mathematical computers that can plot precisely the orbits of asteroids. They've only charted maybe 2% of the asteroids that's in the asteroid belt. And they figure that by the time one leaves the asteroid belt, by the time it gets here, there's like so many months before it comes. Do you think that at the point they figure that one of these things is going to hit Earth, that they're going to tell us about it?
No.
They're not going to tell you.
No. They're going to hide.
Because if it takes, it's going to take 6, 7, 8 months to get here. They're not going to tell you. They want you to continue going to work. Pay your bills. Pay your taxes. Go out and vote. Do all the things that you would normally do. While those in the status quo, they're too busy changing the status, they'll change it for themselves before they change it for you. They'll try to hide. They try to build their bunkers. But Revelation talks about people going to seek death and they won't be able to find it. People going to try to hide from the wrath and the fury of God, and they won't be able to. When the Bible talks about all men are going to be in torment during the last days when the rapture comes, those that are left are going to be tormented. The seven-year judgment. All these things are going to be worse than whatever the status quo dreams them to be. Somebody's going to try to explain it away. So people are going to say, oh, it wasn't about all that. But they won't be able to explain people in the church that were raptured up.
Oh, Lord.
They won't be able to explain why all these things happened all of a sudden. Trains running off the tracks because the motorman was saved. Planes crashing because the pilot was saved. All these things happening because somebody was saved and said, "No, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to go against the status quo today. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. Because without acknowledging the suffering of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, that no flesh should be saved. And God has come to save the world. This is just a memorial today about his victorious entry into Jerusalem. And the Pharisees couldn't understand it. They were just indignant. The Roman occupation, they just allowed it and said, well, let's see what happens. But we know who we serve today. Let us not forget to memorialize the things of God as he has commanded us. Because you see in all the books of the Bible, we talk about in the first five books we call the Pentateuch, talks about establishing religious days and festivals as a memorial. Remember this, remember that. Why did God say that? Because if we don't remember it, then we tend to forget. If we don't remember it, then we will not acknowledge it. If we don't remember it, we forget our history.
All right.
Amen.
And if we don't remember history, we'll become a part of the status quo. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.
Yes, the Lord. Yes, the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Together. Some years. Some years. Glory to God. Glory to God.